in my walk with God with y'all. And I was given my schedule for when I'd be preaching and stuff like that, and I thought, man, I'm getting to start 2 weeks in, you know, like, this is great. And I was looking at the day, I was like, oh, it's Mother's Day. And I was thinking, what a great time. My mom's here. I can do a sermon about how great mothers are and a biblical motherhood. And I didn't do that. I did not do that at all. No, tonight we'll be talking about this idea, this phrase that has really helped me in the past year or so, that I've really needed in the past couple months, and something that I know I'm still working on and I wanted to impart to y'all here as well. And it's this idea of it doesn't matter. And it's not to say that nothing matters, or like, you know, just anything happens, you're like, well, it doesn't matter. That's not the case, and that's not not what it refers to. But it's an idea I got from a podcast I was listening to about a year ago. I was on a plane flight home from this recruiting tour I was on with my school. I'd gotten really close to my other people on that tour, and it was kind of like a, oh, this hurts. They're gone, and at least two of them wouldn't be back at school with me again, so didn't know when I was going to get to see them again. And it kind of just had me down in the dumps, and just different stuff going on in my life, and then I kind of stumbled upon this podcast, and it was this idea of, it doesn't matter, it's okay. Like, there's more pressing matters at hand. And so it was something that I kind of tried to stick with me, and I'm a very competitive person, so it's something that I carried with me into sports. You know, we lost that game. Well, as a Christian, does it really matter? I lost that game, but, you know, it doesn't really matter. Is that going to affect where my mansion is in heaven? I don't think so. And so I just made me start thinking of what else bothers me, what else gets to me that doesn't really matter at all. And so I kind of just had a short list here. Is when I'm driving, I'm not a rageful driver, but you know how Florida is. You get cut off, you're like, oh, I can't believe that guy. He just cut me. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I allow myself, and I'm sure you have things that you allow yourself to get so worked up over, and it's like, why does it matter? Why does it matter that that person cut me off? Am I okay? Are they okay? Is everyone around me okay? Is my spirituality affected? You know, is my walk with God, you know, tampered? Well, if I stick with that and I'm like, okay, well, let me go speed up and cut that guy off, then I've retaliated in some way, and then it has affected my spiritual walk over something so silly as I was driving and this guy probably didn't even see me and he got in my lane and I had to slow down a little bit for him. And so I thought about that with, you know, when someone's maybe not the nicest to me. Okay, maybe they're having a bad day. Walk a mile in their shoes. Think about that. And I thought about that. And then this past year, with my injury just a couple months ago, I was like, oh, this is the worst. I have to ride a scooter and I get a horn on it and people sign my cast. I was like, well, maybe this isn't as bad as I thought. But when I was low on it, it's like, it doesn't matter because, Lord willing, I will be out of this cast. And now here I am before you walking again. It's like, what didn't really matter? And if anything, I think it made my faith grow. And so it made me think about, why do I care about these little things? Why do these things bother me? I know this world isn't my home, but why does it bother me? And so I thought of some things that, why do I care about, you know, why do I care about money? Why do I care about my financial situation? It doesn't come with me. Why do I care about how I feel when someone's not nice to me, or if I'm experiencing a little pain with an injury? You know, it's something that is fleeting, and it doesn't matter. But why do they matter to me? Why does it bother me? And they all seem like worthy concerns. You know, I was hurt. I couldn't do a lot of stuff. I had to move stuff around in my life. My whole life rearranged. It's like, okay, well, that's a worthy concern. Oh, you're low on money. You maybe can't pay for school. You have to get some loans. Well, that seems like a worthy concern. But in the long run, is it? Does it really matter in your walk as a Christian, in your race to the finish line, which for us is heaven? Is that really... does it really matter? And something that I came to, deep down, it doesn't matter, and I know that. So why were these things bothering me? In Ecclesiastes, the preacher says of a few things that are just vanity, just striving after wind. He says toil and work is just striving after wind. He says that in chapter 1 and in chapter 2. He says wisdom, the pursuit of wisdom, just always trying to know everything. Toy is just striving after wind. It's vanity of vanities. He says that in chapter 1 as well. Then he talks about indulgence, you know, going after the things I desire. He continues to say in chapter 2, and he goes on about these things. It's like, in the end, they're just striving after wind. In our short time under the sun, it's just vanity of vanities. But he doesn't mean that we can't do those things, and that's our problem. He knows that to an extent, all of these things are vain and do not matter. But he knows when we're serving the Lord, some of those things will matter. And so it's this idea of why do those things not matter? Why does it not matter that this guy cut me off? Why does it not matter that I'm hurt? Why does it not matter? Why? Why does these worldly things not matter as much? And so the first passage I'd like to read with you is 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, starting in chapter 2. I'll be reading verses 3 through 4. 2 Timothy 2, starting in verse 3. It says, "Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him." These things shouldn't bother me and don't matter because I'm a soldier for Christ. That's my role here. The Lord has enlisted me to bring as many souls with me as I can, and that's my goal, to be a light, to bring others with me. And so these worldly things shouldn't matter because they're civilian pursuits, and I am no longer a civilian as I have taken on Christ and become a soldier for Christ. So he tells us two things here that I want to talk about in just a second, but first, we need to spend this time that we have here, because it is in our home, wisely. You know, we're only enlisted for a short amount of time. We're only here for just a few days. It may feel like a long while, but compared to eternity, it's nothing. In James 4, starting in verse 13, if you want to turn over there, James 4, starting in verse 13, he talks a little bit about boasting about tomorrow and saying, oh, well, tomorrow I'll do this, or putting off tomorrow what can be done today. He says in verse 13, he says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is a sin." We only have a little bit of time. Our life is but a vapor. We have to spend the time that we're enlisted wisely. And we cannot lose sight of that, lose sight of the task that we have at hand as soldiers of Christ. But what is our task? Well, going back to that verse in 2 Timothy, it says to share in suffering and to please the one who has enlisted us. So first, how do we share in suffering? How do we do that? How do we share in suffering? You know, we're not being thrown in prison as they were in the New Testament. We're not being beaten for our faith. We've been blessed to, at least now, be in a very free country where we can meet here and not be worried about government interference or being thrown in jail or beaten or persecuted in any way. And so it doesn't mean that we have to go through those things. Now, it's a great thing that we can go and do. We have brethren who go and work in China where that is a real concern, or in other countries where that's a real concern. And it's not that we shouldn't do that or we can't do that, but it's not saying that we have to do that. That's not something that we have to do that in that way. So a couple ways we can do this is talking Galatians 6, we read about bearing one another's burdens. You know, or in Romans 12, it talks about weeping with those who weep and rejoicing with those who rejoice. If someone's going through a hard time, we weep with them. If someone's struggling with something, we're there for them. We talk to them. Something that I love that I have experienced a lot at FC is we'll have accountability partners. You know, you're struggling with this, and well, I'm struggling with this. Let's talk about it. And if someone's having an off week or someone's just not being who they need to be, you have that person there and you're bearing one another's burdens. And we're called to do that. We need to examine our life. Look at how we're living. Are we carrying the cross of Christ? Are we suffering? You know, it says that Christ suffered outside of the gate. I believe that's in Hebrews. And it says, are we suffering or are we living and going along with the world? Living a worldly life and pursuing after those civilian pursuits that we read about. We have to create a close relationship with Christ, regardless of what happens around us. Whether this country is free in 10, 20, 5 years even, whether it's free or not, we have to continue sharing in that suffering, continue to desire that close relationship with Christ. 1 Peter 4 and verse 12, he says this. 1 Peter 4, starting in verse 12, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you were insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. And this is the idea that we see from the apostles, that they're rejoiced that they were counted worthy to be jailed and beaten and persecuted for Christ, for the name of Christ. And so that's something that we have to look to do as well. And at the end there, it says, entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. And that brings me to the next point there is, well, how do we please the one who has enlisted us? How do we do that? You know, we can obey. We talk about obeying his commandments, keeping his commandments. In Matthew 5, we're given a hard command that says we need to love all people, not just our friends, not just the people in this building, but love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. That's a very difficult thing to do, very hard thing to do. And I know it's something that I struggle with in my life. And so it goes back to things about, will it really matter what happened there? Will it really matter if I'm not sharing in the suffering and not pleasing the one who has enlisted me, which is our Lord? We are called to love all people. In Romans 8, if you want to turn over to Romans 8, and starting in verse 3. Romans 8, starting in verse 3, he says, what if some were... Romans 8, pardon me. Romans 8, starting in verse 3. I was in Romans 3. Okay, Romans 8, starting in verse 3. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's laws. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. If we're looking to fleshly things, if we're living in the flesh, living worldly lives, we read it plain and simple right here. We can't please God. We cannot please the one who has enlisted us, and thus failing to do one of our duties as a soldier in Christ. We have to keep our minds on the spiritual things, live according to the Spirit, as it says here. In Romans 12, we talked about this year at school, the theme for our Sowers Club, which is a Bible study on campus, was to be transformed and not conformed to the world around us, to be transformed by God's word. That comes from Romans 12. It also says there to be presented as a living sacrifice. We are living sacrifices for God. There are many ways that we can serve as well. These are just a few things that I've listed, but there are many ways that we can serve as soldiers for Christ. In 1 Corinthians, if you want to flip over there with me, 1 Corinthians 12, and I'll start reading in verse 12. It talks about how there are many different parts of the body. Not everyone can be an eye. Not everyone can be a hand. We're all made different and perfect. We're all fearfully and wonderfully made, as we read in a Psalm of David. So 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 12, it says, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. So here we read that we are all made to fill different roles, and there are many different ways to serve as soldiers for Christ. And so it's this idea that we can't conform ourselves as soldiers, that we can only suffer, we can only share in suffering, and we can only go, and that there's only certain ways to do that. There's many ways that we can serve Christ and please the one who's enlisted us. But back to this mindset of it doesn't matter. There's a difference, something that I've found out was there's a difference between it doesn't matter and I don't care. Because it doesn't matter is, it's not that you don't care about it. It's not that it doesn't, you know, you don't think about it, but it's the fact that at the end of the day, it does not matter to me and it's okay. But the idea of I don't care is the wrong mindset. It's the wrong mindset to have that we don't care. Because it's okay to care about, you know, being competitive or winning games. That's okay. It's okay to, you know, if someone's unkind to you, to care about that. And it's okay that you care, but you need to find out more so than just let it sit there and bother you and cause a stirring within you. It's okay to care about others' well-being. It's okay that if you're hurt, you care about being hurt. You care that someone else is hurt. That's okay. But it's important to remember that these are temporary bodies, and this is a temporary life that we live in. And to make the time that we have important time and to use it wisely. Because we should care in moderation. Now, if on one hand, you know, we don't care, then we're not being good stewards of what we've been blessed with. We've been blessed with many things so far, too numerous to count of all the many things we've been blessed with. And if we just don't care about them, then we aren't being good stewards with what we've been blessed. If I just drive recklessly and I'm like, oh, well, you know, I've been blessed to be able to afford this car. And then I'm just like, oh, well, I wrecked it. I don't really care. Well, that's not the right mindset. Now, maybe if it doesn't matter because at the end of the day, it's a worldly thing that you won't be able to hold on to. But there's a clear difference there. Because on one hand, we should be good stewards. But on the other hand, we should, in the same hand, we should absolutely care. But if we care too much about something, if we look too much into something, if we say, this is where I place this, you know, my car is above everything else. I love my car. I worked hard to get my car, and that's the thing I care about most. Well, that's not the case. We need to care about pleasing the one who has enlisted us, pleasing our Lord, following after him, walking with him, and creating that close relationship with him. Ultimately, we should care, but not allow that to take us away from what really matters. We should care, and things do matter, but we can't let it rip us away from the main thing that we're here for. So we've discussed what doesn't matter. We've said it doesn't matter, and that's the mindset that we can have. We discussed why those things don't matter, but what does matter? What matters to us here in this little time that we have? In Colossians 3, verses 1 through 6, 1 through 3, it says this. If I can get through. Colossians 3, starting in verse 1. It says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So that's what matters, the things that are above. Christ, seated at the right hand of God, he matters. Our salvation matters. His sacrifice matters. But what are the things that are above? What are they? So first it says Jesus in his example. The example he set for us as he lived, as he loved his enemies and prayed for those who persecuted him. He didn't curse. He came to bless. And he lived a perfect, sinless life for us to walk in the footsteps of. In Romans 12, like I said before, it talks about us living and presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice, a sacrifice like Jesus was, putting away the old life and taking on the new life in baptism. Matthew 6, 19 talks about where we put our treasure. If you want to turn to Matthew 6 with me. Matthew 6, starting in verse 19. It says this, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And that goes back to this mindset of caring, and it doesn't matter. We care not about our worldly treasures and the things that we put here, but we care about the life to come, building up our treasures in heaven, focusing on those spiritually, on those spiritual things. Later on in the chapter, in verse 24, it talks about how no man can serve two masters. You will either serve God or money, but you cannot serve both. And so we have to focus on serving God and keeping our mindset on the things that are above. In Matthew 5, in chapter 5 and 14, just a page over, he says, starting in verse 13, he says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." That's our goal. That's what matters. Letting our light shine, being the salt of the earth, bringing others and telling others the great news that we have. Something that I know I have struggled with is thinking of evangelism as a burden. Oh, well, I got to go talk to people I don't really know, or this person's not going to like what I have to say. That shouldn't be our mindset towards evangelism. We have great news. This is great news. We have been condemned to fire in eternity. And this man left heaven, a perfect being, left heaven, came to be born of a lowly birth, lived a perfect life, experienced the pain and agony and the temptation that we experience, and died on the cross so that we have a chance to be with our Creator who loves us. That chance wasn't there until he sacrificed. They were sacrificing animals in the Old Testament until Jesus comes along as the perfect sacrifice. That's great news. Why do I treat that as a burden? Why do we see that as a wall? It's great news. Finally, it matters that we start now. If we put this off till tomorrow or the next day, we're not guaranteed another second. We have to start our work now. There's no time like the present. I think that's something that I have certainly learned from my parents as a professional procrastinator. I'm very good at it. Lots of papers written just before the due date. But we have to start now. It's not something that is as little as a paper. Oh, well, if I turn it in late, you know, Dr. Moyer's going to give me a 90 instead of 100 on it. Ugh. No, this is salvation. This is salvation. This is where we spend eternity for our Father who wants to be with us. He loves us, and we separated ourselves from him. We sinned, and we fall short. He didn't fall short. He's constantly, constantly building a bridge back to us, and Jesus is interceding for us at that right hand of God that we read about just a moment ago. In Hebrews 13, I'll read Hebrews 13 and starting in verse 14. It says this, Hebrews 13, starting in verse 14. "For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." This isn't our home. This isn't where we want to stay. Lakeland, Florida, Lake Gibson, Florida, Brandon, Valrico, Plant City. This isn't our home. This isn't where we want to stay forever. We are to be seeking the eternal city with our Father who loves us, so we can sing praises around his throne forever with all of the saints who've gone on before. But if we're not seeking that city, if we're delaying, if we're taking our time here, then we fail and we lose sight of our task as soldiers in Christ. And the worldly things start to get in. And all of a sudden, these things start to matter. Oh, well, I need to make sure that I go do this first. And then I can pray tonight. Then I can evangelize later tonight. Oh, well, I gotta go on my walk. I gotta get my workout in. Oh, forgot to pray today. Forgot to go and evangelize today. Because all these worldly things start to creep in. We start to lose sight of the goal. And instead of running towards heaven, we start to slow down, and maybe we go to a jog or we walk. And we're just trying to spend more time here. We cannot treat this life like we have another second. Every second we have is a blessing from God. So finally, what matters to you? How are you living, and what are you showing that matters to you? In Matthew 6, in 19 through 21, we talked about laying up treasures in heaven. And then at the end of that, it says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So where's our treasure? When we act, where are we putting our treasure? Because how we act and what we do and what we say will show where our heart is. And if we're laying up treasures here, you'll be able to tell. If you're laying up treasures in heaven, you're shining your light and people can see it. We will show what matters to us and what we do and what we say. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day you've given us. We thank you for the many blessings you've given us, Lord. We thank you for your Son, a perfect sacrifice. We are so undeserving of all the things you've given us, Lord. And we know that we are just minuscule in the grand scheme of your creation. But we thank you for the opportunity we have, the voice we have to sing praises to you and spread your word, Lord. Lord, be with us and help us to be lights. Help us to remember that the things of this world simply do not matter. Because our home is not here. Our home is in heaven with you, and that's where we long to be, Lord. Help us to have the right attitude, not that we don't care about the things you've given us or the opportunity you've given us, Lord, that while we were still sinners, you sent your Son to die on a cross for us, that we have that opportunity. We care about that, Lord. Help us to care enough to spread the good news. Be with us, Lord, in our endeavors, and help us that in all we say and do to bring glory and honor to your name. Help us to further your kingdom in all our efforts, Lord. Help us to live more like your Son. Help us to be good soldiers for the cross, not laying our cross down when it gets hard or laying our cross down in times of prosperity only to pick it up when times are fairly even, Lord. Help us to carry that cross at all times. Help us to share in suffering at all times, and help us to please you, our general, at all times, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity we have to come together and assemble, Lord. We know that we all have different jobs. We all have different things we can be doing to serve you, Lord, and to be soldiers for you. Help us to not envy one another, but to build one another up, strengthen one another. As we read in Proverbs, help us to build one another up. We know we're all different, Lord. We know you have fearfully and wonderfully made us, and help us to not forget that. Help us to seek the things not of this world, but of the spiritual world beyond this, Lord. Help us to seek our forever home, not this temporary one, Lord. Help us to lift one another up and to bring others to you, Lord. Thank you for your Son and for his example and his sacrifice. And it's in his name I pray. Amen. So if you have been letting the wrong things bother you, if you have letting these worldly things get to you and say, what? I think that matters a little more. If you've been letting that affect your decisions and how you live, and you need the prayers of the congregation, please come forward as we stand and sing.